long, the horse decided that he would stop and put his head down and have a drink. And yes, Dr. Clausen knows what happened. I saw him laugh. Woof. But I also have been around large horses, and if you see some of these Clydesdales that are humongous in every direction, and the feet are like the pumpkin there, just humongous. And but it's just a little bit, does it? Verse 4, back to the James chapter 3, verse 4, I'm on one page here. Behold, the ships, which though they be great, are driven of a fierce wind, yet are they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. And here's the back end of a gigantic old ship. Sometimes the ship's wheel is called the helm. That whole area is sometimes called the helm. But the ship's wheel uses the chain on the pulley, and it goes down here, and it can pull either way. And you can't really see the whole, the whole rudder. But you can see this is a model, and you can see how, in comparison to the size of this whole thing, that little tiny rudder, you spin the wheel, the rudder goes this way, and you go that way. It's the same if you have a little motorboat, and you got your motor, and you're a little spinning, and you're going along like this, and you push it this way, you go that way, and like that, and you have some fun. And the tongue is compared to these small things that can control the big body. You have a small tongue, you have a big body in comparison. Today, they use a different drives and different ways of steering. They're electric motors, and they can go and turn 360 degrees, so the whole motor and propeller turns, and you can back the thing up, you can do it sideways, whatever. And they can even get this size, sorry for all the pixelation, but something like this would be on an aircraft carrier, or gigantic cruise boats. But these are still the rudders that can change the direction of the whole thing. Verse 5, even so the tongue is a little member, and it boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. Okay, just a little fire. And that little fire can start something. It can start a nice campfire. And you know what? It only takes a spark of that campfire to start a whole other thing. Oh, that sounds familiar. That's the kind of fire James is talking about. The kind of fire that ruined a whole bunch of Fort McLeod, I think it was, a couple of years ago. That kind of fire is coming down on California, some of the places today. And they actually blame you because you drove your car today. You started that because your carbon dioxide, climate change, and blame me for everything. But maybe somebody with their match lit their fire, and from that one of the sparks went off, and we know that that has happened. Verse 6 tells us that the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among your members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. And it's really a horrible thing, because in verse 7 it says, for every kind of beasts and of birds and of serpents and things of the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind, but the tongue no man can tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. And that's a really bad thing. It says it's unruly, evil, full of deadly poison. Now he's talking about teachers, Okay, he's talking about people that get up and start telling you that you need to be circumcised to be saved. Sorry, ladies, can't get saved. Guys, you need to be circumcised to be saved. You guys can wear a hat and then you'll be okay. And we don't have a temple over in Jerusalem, so we'll chop up a chicken and it'll be fine. And they're false teachers. And all through the Old Testament, God says false teachers need to be what? What do you do with a false teacher? He's smiling. You know what to do with him. What do you do with him? Kill him. Okay? Even down in Leviticus, it tells you that even if it's your own son who is a prophet, and he's prophesied something, and it happens, that proves that he's from God, right? No. What does he say? He says, let's go worship this God. The God's up in the woods up there, up on the hill. And he tells you to worship another God other than Jehovah. The parents were to be the first ones to run him through. And here in verse 7, for every kind of beasts and of birds and of serpents and of things of the sea is tamed and hath been tamed of mankind. Well, you look at that and we say, well, we haven't really tamed octopuses, octopi. We haven't really tamed some of those things. But the word tamed here is damadzo. Okay, and the taming has really nothing to do with domesticating the animal, okay, or training them to perform. I mean, dolphins are smart, and porpoises are really smart. They have trained people to go to the refrigerator, pull out a fish, stand right next to the water, and hold it out there so they can be fed. And then they say, okay, do that again, human. And you go and you get another. They train you very well, and they get their food. Or you can train them. But mankind hasn't domesticated all these animals. But it means to have control here in taming or dominion over. And we can control lesser creatures, but man cannot control his tongue. Okay, the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. The word tame or damadzo occurs only one other time in the New Testament passage, and that's found in Mark 5. In Mark 5, Jesus is over in the Gadarenes, and he's being told about this man that is demon-possessed, and they try and calm him down. He lives in the caves. He lives all over the place. They put chains on him, heavy chains, and they put fetters on him, and he just breaks them away. He's got that much strength. And the Lord goes up and tells the demon to leave, the devil to leave. And you know what happens to the man. All of a sudden, he's clothed and in his right mind. And he goes to Jesus when Jesus is ready to leave. He goes and he begs Jesus, let me go with you. I want to be one of your disciples. Thank you so much for freeing me of this. And Jesus says, no, I got a better plan for you. You go home and tell your family. That's all you have to do. You already know who I am, what I can do. Go home and tell you and show your family what you are. So that helps us to understand the proper meaning of tamed in James. Verse 9. Therewith, with this tongue, we bless God. Bless we God, even the Father. And therewith curse we men, which are made after the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings and cursings. My brethren, these things not ought to be so. In fact, we can sit here and say praise the Lord and all that in our hymns and songs, and then we can go out and say that dirty blank politician, we won't say which one, and what are we doing? We're blessing God at one point with our tongue, and then we're going out and saying rotten things or doing rotten things with our tongue. Mankind is marred But we still have the image and likeness of God. And that's why God says, you don't murder because you're made in the image and likeness of me. James teaches that that still exists, even with all of our sin and marring. Out of the same mouth, blessing and cursing. My brethren, and according, again, counting himself in there, my brethren, these things ought not to be so. Look at Genesis 9 up here. Whoso sheddeth man's blood, by man shall his blood be shed, for in the image of God made he man. And in 1 Corinthians, it says, for a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. Thank you, glorious women. And your hair is a beautiful covering, and that's sufficient. But we are the image, and you ladies are too. Okay, the image and likeness of God. And James goes on in verse 10 and says, out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings and cursings, my brethren, these things ought not to be. Doth a fountain send forth water, the same place, sweet water and bitter? Out of that mouth, things happen. And things happen like this, and sometimes it's called gossip, other times it's called whatever, and we're putting down somebody, we're, did you hear about, did you hear, oh boy. And I'm sorry, the only pictures I was able to glean was ladies doing the talking, but we won't go there. But out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. These ought not to be. And then he says in verse 11, doth a fountain send forth the same place, sweet water and bitter? You go and you take a cup up there, or your hands, and you take a drink, is put in two hands. Oh, that's really good. Oh, that's bitter. Oh, that's good. Out of the same, no, this doesn't work that way. And then verse 12. Can the fig tree, my brethren, bear olive berries, either a vine, figs, so can no fountain both yield salt water and fresh. And it's interesting, he says, here's a nice picture of a fig tree. And he says, can you get olives off a fig tree? Now, generally, the answer is no, okay? But some people have taken a small branch of something and grafted it into another thing. But what does that branch bring forth? Whatever it was. It just grows and produces whatever it was. The tree produces whatever it was. So basically we're here, he says this. Now, this reminded me of a story. And how about you? Somebody sitting underneath a fig tree named Nathaniel. And in John 1, 47 to 51, Jesus saw Nathaniel sitting under the tree, probably praying, and probably wasn't anywhere near Jesus was physically. I'm going to turn there. You're welcome to turn there as well. John 1, 47. Find John 1, 47. Jesus saw Nathaniel coming to him. Philip went and find Nathaniel, and said, we found the Messiah, Jesus of Nazareth. Nathanael said, yeah, can anything good come out of Nazareth? And Philip said, come and see. Verse 47, Jesus saw Nathanael coming and to him, and saith of him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. He knew his heart. Nathanael saith unto him, whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip called thee, thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Now, I've heard messages where some of these fig trees grow almost right to the ground. And so you can kind of go in there and hide. So and their presupposition was that he was in under there praying, kind of taking advantage of a little privacy. People weren't around, and he was under this tree and kind of hidden. We had a little grove at the back of my place when we were growing up, and we could go back there and hide and do whatever. Wasn't praying back there, I was climbing apple trees, but It was very private. But that's probably what he was doing. And he says, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. And Nathan answered and saith unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God. Thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, because I said unto thee, I saw thee under the tree, fig tree, believest thou that shall be greater things than these? Thou shalt see greater things than these. And he saith unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter ye shall see heaven open, and the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. Just a little side trip with fig trees. Can the fig tree bring forth olives? Can you get a fountain to both yield salt water and fresh? Well, these are the fountains you find at school, and they're usually good fresh water, nice and cold, usually. You just know. You have equal amounts of fresh water and salty water, and you put them together, and what do you got? Ladies, what do you got?
Salty water.
Salty water. Not as salty as the first part that you put in, kind of watered down a little bit with the fresh water, but you got salty water. It's just the way it is. So he's saying that these things should not be saying things like, I'm a Christian, I praise God, and all this sort of stuff, and then go out and curse and swear at people and all that kind of stuff. He's saying that's not what it should be. Also, having seen Nathaniel's fig tree, reminded me of another fig tree. And on the third day of observation of the Lamb, back in Mark 11, it says, in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, calling to remembrance, saith unto him, Master, behold, the fig tree which thou cursest is withered away. And Jesus answering saith unto them, have faith in God. It just fig trees and brings on all these stories. Basically, James is saying something similar to the Sermon on the Mount. And we've seen this before. And now we want to look at the chapter 3, verse 12, and there in his speech. And Matthew 7 and Luke 6 talks about you are known by your fruits. Okay, what you do. Luke especially, he says, why beholdest the mote in your brother's eye? When you have a beam in your own eye, get rid of that. For a good tree bringeth not forth corrupt fruit, neither doth a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. For every tree is known by its fruit. For of thorns men do not gather figs, nor of a bramble bush gather they grapes. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart, as James was talking to his brethren, bringeth forth out of his heart that which is good. And an evil man whose teaching is leading people astray on purpose bringeth forth fruit that out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth fruit that which is evil. For the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. And we can go back to James chapter 3 and say, who is a wise man then with all this? And endued with knowledge among you, let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. If ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This starts off with a question, who is a wise man? And we're going to end off with a question, who is a wise man? Because time is up. So thank you very much, folks. Appreciate your attention. Once we got going, let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for James' teaching on the tongue, how small a little thing, but how much it can damage churches. It can damage individual lives just by saying the wrong, evil things. And Lord, we pray that we would have the wisdom from you that we will learn about. We want to have that love
joy and peace from you that we can share with others, and show that our testimony is straightforward and out of our heart comes the good things. So help us to do this, Lord. Help us to be practical about this. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, folks.